Thank you. Everybody's ready for their coffee break, I know. So it's really nice to speak with you this afternoon. And I'm, as we're seeing, I'm going to be speaking about some resources that can help us with the really hard challenge of engaging men. So let me give you first a little bit of an overview about Hesperian Health Guides, which is the organization where I work. We are best known, perhaps, internationally and for books like Where There Is No Doctor. We provide really accessible, motivating health information that's used by everyone from health practitioners who are doing community-based work to community health workers to community members themselves that are looking to try and organize and address underlying causes of poor health. Our materials are on a wide range of topics and are in over 80 languages, many of which are available for free online. And there's just some of the languages that they are available in. Currently, actually, it's up to 222 countries and territories where these books are used. And among the publications and materials that we have developed, we've done a lot on women's health. And Where Women Have No Doctor was first developed in 1997. We continue to update it all of the time. Our process in general for developing materials is, and this is really relevant for the rest of this conversation, is developed in a really participatory fashion. We do extensive field testing with community-based groups who review, test, and try out and use the content and give us feedback about what was accessible, what worked, what didn't work. Where Women's now in over 40 languages. And the work that I'm going to be speaking about today really builds on this earlier effort. So as we begin releasing and distributing Where Women Have No Doctor, which is really comprehensive and does take the view that women's health begins with adolescence and before and continues throughout their life, people were asking for and really requesting for additional materials to support them organizing and doing community education and outreach and advocacy around women's health and empowerment. In other words, it's a lot more than healthcare, as people in this room have already recognized. And because of that request, we undertook a new project called Health Actions for Women with these goals. And I want to underscore the last of those goals, which is engaging men and boys in organizing to improve women's health, which is what I will focus on. But as you'll see, we're really taking an approach that reflects the fact that women's health is a spectrum, and safe motherhood really begins with a healthy woman, and good outcomes from pregnancy really start from that place. So we're really taking that kind of holistic approach. And this wonderful new resource is going to be released in next month, and there's some information in the back of the room about that. So a little bit of background about the materials that were developed for this publication. Very practical tools, very practical strategies to help people do community organizing, to do outreach, to do education at a community level around these kinds of issues. So activities, games, role plays, all a huge spectrum of activities, a lot of inspiring stories, examples of good strategies that are sort of geared to where people are starting at, because that can be in a lot of different places in many different contexts. And again, strong emphasis on providing advice for engaging men and boys and working actually with mixed gender groups as well. So I'm not going to belabor this point because this whole session is about engaging men. We know it's really necessary. I'm going to call out the UNFPA ProMundo Toolkit, which many of you may know about, engaging men and boys in gender equality and health, an excellent toolkit for policymakers and programmatic sort of design. Many of the authors of that toolkit have been involved in this project. And again, I think we all know why engaging men is necessary. And what we also know is that it's really hard to do at a practical level, at a community level. And so a little bit about our process for developing this new resource. We consulted a number of community-based organizations working in different settings and around the world about what did they find really hard, and that was, and what did they, where did they really need the support? And not surprisingly, most of a rather large percentage of them, 55 out of 72 respondents from 20 countries, indicated that engaging men and boys was the hardest thing they were having trouble with. They knew that it was recommended, but how to actually do it. They had little or no experience with outreach or mobilization or education with groups of men and boys around these topics of sexual health, women's health, safe motherhood, pregnancy, family planning, sort of that spectrum of topics. They also had very little experience with mixed gender activities or group discussions on those topics. So this is a table of contents of this new publication. And our first instinct was to create a section on working with men. But we quickly realized, and in fact our advisors on the ground, the community-based organizations, made it clear that what they need is really integrating this approach into every topic, because that is really what is needed. And these topics are so interrelated that it's really essential. They also asked for and gave us great feedback on how to do things like how to bring men, how to even get them to a meeting about some of these topics, much less how you would start a conversation. So here are some examples of activities that are included in this new resource. This one happens to be a fishbowl about exchanging experiences about birth with men and women, where women talk, men listen, and men talk and women listen. It's designed to be facilitated by a man and a woman together, and it's actually designed as one of the earlier activities that you might try in a mixed gender setting. Again, in some contexts, that's not a possible option, but in many places, this is actually was found to be a very helpful activity. Here's one that is focused on obstetric emergencies, and it's a guessing game that we ask groups to try out in field testing. The book also includes experiences from around the world of people struggling with and dealing with how to engage men. Some stories from Nepal here. Another example of in Afghanistan, men learning about childbirth and danger signs during pregnancy and birth. We try really hard in this resource to also model behaviors. So there's lots of examples of conversations the way we'd like to see them happen with men. So, like all of our materials, after drafting this in consultation with many people, we conducted a very extensive field test and review process. We field tested and reviewed the draft materials at many levels. Oops, cursor's in the way. 41 organizations and community-based organizations in 23 countries were involved in the field testing. And they, in turn, tried out activities, tried out strategies, held discussions, and that process involved over 1,400 people. About 65% were women, the remainder were men, and again, at various ages, working from fairly young teens to, we tried some folks were trying out sort of multi-generational discussions where grandmothers were involved as well as young people. In addition to them giving us great feedback, that is our normal process for field testing, and we got wonderful feedback that was super helpful for developing this resource. They told us what didn't work, which we had to fix. We added a lot of new material. We learned a lot that we applied into this final product. But in addition, one of the things that we wanted to learn during this whole process was, given that we were trying to increase people's confidence in doing community outreach and community organizing in a way that involved men and around any of these issues, we also wanted to measure how did the use of that material during field testing help them. So we developed a pre-test and a post-field test survey to do that. And we were trying to measure both how they felt in terms of confidence and skills learned, but also how they were applied. Did they continue to do those activities? And the survey design measured empowerment and capacity through a number of different ways: self-reflection on skills learned, ask them to rate confidence levels about talking and teaching sensitive topics and challenging topics and new topics. Also asked about their sense of capacity to organize activities and sessions on challenging topics and with different kinds of groups than they had any experience with, and asked them to talk about what had happened after trying those things out, any kind of impact. So in the pre-field test, post-field test survey process, we had 17 community-based organizations from 14 countries participate. So not everyone who field tested did this process with us. And this is a list of, I think, all of them, or most of them. So quite diverse, as you'll see. And let me share just a little bit of the results, focusing on this specific question of engaging with men. They gave us a much wider range of feedback and results on this, but let me just drill down on this particular issue, which is, really here. So a great deal of reporting on increased confidence. People really did feel like they learned a lot, which is great. They certainly reported feeling more comfortable working with men and teaching men about their involvement in, for example, in safe childbirth. That was one of the topics that people found the easiest to work on. Sexuality remained one of the topics that people found most challenging afterwards, but that also saw a big jump in terms of people's confidence on this issue. But actually, safe motherhood and safe childbirth was deemed to be one of the less difficult topics to be discussing with men. Their confidence did increase across topics, and generally speaking, I'm running short of time, so I'm just going to skip this. You can actually see some of those results here. Something else that I wanted to share is, and one of the things that we think is really encouraging, is the fact that those stories modeled behavior that was taken up during field testing. So just to take one example to share with you that was kind of cool, is in the field testing of the safe motherhood material, there's a story about a man in Tanzania that organized emergency obstetric care for their rural area, which didn't exist after some women died, and how he ended up really helping push a larger obstetric emergency transport system to be set up in Tanzania. So that was field tested quite widely. And there was a group in Pakistan that had never before had mixed gender activity around anything. And they very, very carefully constructed a mixed gender discussion around safe motherhood. They didn't try the fishbowl. That was deemed a little too difficult. But they did end up doing several things, including discussing this story from Tanzania. And as one of the outcomes that they reported, 6 months after field testing, there's a group of men that were involved in that field testing that continued to meet and have actually set up an emergency obstetric sort of report thing and also emergency transport. So, you know, that's one of the examples where I think, as different speakers in our session today have reported, you know, modeling is a really important part of engaging men. And so that's one I just wanted to close with. So if you want to learn a little bit more about this resource, come visit our booth. And there is some information in the back. You can look at this. This actually, if you pick up one of these postcards, you can get a discount when the book's out in January. And this is some more information about Hesperides.